I don't have all the answers, but I'm just going to share some of the things that the Lord's been showing me when I looked at the title tonight for Embracing Our Calling. My first question was, what is our calling? I don't know if everybody knows that. I don't know if you have answers for that. Maybe you'll find out later down the road if you don't know. And another thing, number two, I wondered, do we all have the same calling? And I'm talking about callings outside of serving the Lord. Does our calling change? And is our calling something that we enjoy? Maybe not, but our calling should always bring glory to God. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all of your might. And that's what I'd like to bring out tonight, that whatever we do and whatever we put our hand to do, that we will do it with all of our might. God has us all in different places and different things, and we're different people. We have different situations in our life going on. And so I just went to the Bible to look at some women. And they're probably women that you may not have chose for this subject, but I did, because it spoke something to me. And I love how we can go into the scriptures and read it so many times and read different things about the same people and learn so many different things. And so first I want to talk about Ruth, the Moabite. And I'm sure you all know the story about Ruth, how she lived with her mother-in-law, and her and her husband and her brother-in-law, and they had all died. There were no men left in the family. And Naomi pleaded with them to go back to their people. And the sister-in-law, one of them went back, but Ruth just begged. She did not want to leave her mother-in-law. She wanted to go with her. She wanted to leave her land. She wanted to leave everything that she knew. She had a calling on her life from the Lord, and she was willing to set aside what she could have done. She was single. She could have went and found another husband. She could have went back to the people she was familiar with, but she chose to go on with her mother-in-law. And so I really feel like she was hearing from God in that time. In Ruth 1:16, it says, Ruth said to her mother-in-law, urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where I go, where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. So that just really spoke to me how she was embracing her calling. She was called to leave her people, to go with her mother-in-law, to something that she was unfamiliar with. I mean, how many of us would want to do that? And through this, she became the mother of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, and on down until Jacob, the father of Joseph, and Joseph, the father of Jesus. So had she not been willing to be used in this way, she wouldn't have been in that lineage. Also, in the book of Matthew, it talks about Mary of Nazareth, the mother of Jesus. Now, I probably look at this a little differently than you did, but I thought, what a high calling was placed on her. She was young. She wasn't married. She was engaged to be married. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord came to her, and she was going to have a baby. She was with child. How embarrassing could this have been to her, with the people around her? I mean, I'm sure she was mocked and scorned, spoke about behind her back, ridiculed, and yet she was willing to put all that aside. And Joseph, too, once the angel came to him and told him, that he doesn't have to fear. It says, now the birth of Christ took place under these circumstances when his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her promised husband Joseph, being a just and upright man, not willing to expose her publicly and to shame her, disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss and divorce her quietly and secretly. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which she has conceived is from out of the Holy Spirit. So, again, here's a woman who had to put all the mockings and the talk and the thoughts of other people behind her and do what she knew what was right to do. She wanted to serve the Lord. The next one I thought of was Hannah. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Hannah. Hannah was barren, and she was mocked by her husband's other wife. It was hard for her. She wanted a child, and she couldn't have a child. She prayed, and she prayed, and she begged God for a child. Just over and over, she was ridiculed for being barren. Then in 1 Samuel 1:11 it says, she vowed, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and earnestly remember and not forget your handmaid, but will give me a son, I will give him back to the Lord all of his life. So she was asking God for this child. And then after he blessed her and gave her this child, she gave him back to God after he was old enough and weaned and ready to go and serve in the temple. I can't imagine longing for a child for so long and begging from God to get that child and then still being willing. You know, I think I kind of want to just renege just a little bit, just keep it just a little bit longer. But she was willing to stick to her word, and she was committed to embrace the calling that she had on her life and to give him to serve the Lord all of his life. Then there was Esther, and a lot of you have heard me talk about the book of Esther. It's very dear to me. She was just a plain old girl. She was called to come before the king, and he chose her to be queen. She was put in a high position from where she had come. So now she's royalty, and she's got everything she wants. But when they found out, when Mordecai let her know of the things that were going to happen to the Jewish people, he begged her to go before the king. And she knew that if she went, she had a chance to lose her life if this king had summoned her. But she went anyway. Because he reminded her, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be an enlargement and deliverance arise from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And thou knowing whether thou art come to the kingdom, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So she knew that she might be destroyed herself, but she also knew that if she didn't come before this king with a request for her people, that maybe this was her calling. This was the time that God had put her in this position so that she could bring freedom for her people. And she was willing to do that, even though she was going to leave behind all these beautiful heavenly things, you know, rich things that she didn't have before. She was willing to do this. And then I think about Sarah in her old age. She was barren and for so long, and God had promised her a child. Do you imagine how people would have mocked her and scorned her and laughed at her? Oh, look at that grandma. She's going to have a baby. I mean, I can just imagine. People were people just like we are now. So I'm sure they did the same things. But God had a different plan. He had a calling on her life, and she was embracing that calling by being willing to give birth to this child. Was she 90? 90 years old. I can't imagine. Yeah, like Barb. And then I also had Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. Her sister Martha was a servant and loved to serve, and that was probably her calling from God. But Mary did not want to serve. Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said in the scriptures that Mary had chosen the good things. And so even though we might be doing something, I myself might be doing something and think, why doesn't somebody help? Why doesn't this person help or that person help? It's not necessarily what they're called to do. Mary was called to sit and to learn from Jesus. I think we all are at some time, but I just had to think how Martha was probably really pretty perturbed with her, and maybe a lot of other people too. But Jesus told her that she was choosing the best things. So when I think about embracing my own calling, it didn't go the way I wanted it. My life wasn't at all the way I wanted it after I got married. I wanted children. I wanted children desperately bad. And we went through a lot of time and trials and different things trying to conceive children. And 7 years down the road, we finally did. But 6 pregnancies and 6 losses later, we still had no children. So this is not what God had called me to do at this time. Later, God blessed us with 6 children that we adopted. Only 2 of them did we actively adopt. The other kind of just came to us, which we were very thankful for, because here was the children that we had always wanted. And oh, how I wish I'd known the things that I know now when I had them. So, but I had just a few years after that the opportunity to take care of 3 of my grandsons. And I had them in my home for 5 years, and I just took it as it was a great responsibility. It was a great blessing. The Lord blessed me in this. Even though it wasn't the ideal thing, I heard from people, good-hearted people, you're too old for this. You should be retiring. You should be traveling. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. But that's not always God's heart. That's the way the world thinks. We have to think differently than the world, and we have to listen to God. So I was able to pour into these children. I had given myself up to that I was going to do best job that I could, that I was going to teach them everything that I could about Jesus, and just pour into them so that they would know a life with Jesus. And since then, I just have to mention this since I'm bringing the boys up, that Justine is here with us tonight, and we're going through the transition period, and she's been drug-free over 4 years, and she's serving the Lord, and I must admit that the past 5 years has been pretty rough. At 60-some years old, it's a little bit hard to keep up with them. But, how many times did I want to go take a nap when they wanted to go swimming or bike riding or for a walk? But I gave it all up because I knew what was lasting. The things that we do here, and the way we react to other people and the callings that they have, even though we don't understand them, is very, very important. Our goal here is, I know as a mother we want to be a good mother, but our goal here is not just to do that. Our goal is to spread the word of God and to bring as many people to the kingdom with us as we can. because that's our home. This is not our home. So I just wanted to bring out girls. I'm going to pick on you a little bit. If you're wanting jobs or you're wanting relationships, you're wanting friends, you're wanting marriage, you're looking for those things, just be faithful. Don't rush. Look around and see what things you can be doing for other people. Serve, because that's what we're here. We're here to serve for Jesus. We're his servant, and we want to serve other people. Those things will come soon enough. So be patient and be content. And to the young marrieds wanting children and can't wait to have them, serve him with your husbands and serve the others around you. Use your times wisely. Things will change in time. Sometimes it takes a long time, like 7 years or more. But God is still faithful. And those with small children, when you feel overwhelmed, when you think you have too much to handle, be patient. Don't wish for the time to go by so quickly. Just take time for them. Teach them in every way you can about Jesus. Teach them about serving others. Teach them eternal things that are going to last. You know, I think we've all been as mothers to the point where, at least I have, even after I wanted children for so long, if only they would grow up a little bit faster. Every time we get in a situation, we think it's our worst. But it soon passes on to something else. Or if they could only do things for themselves, if they were big enough to help, believe me, it won't be long until you wonder where all those things went. So serve them now and enjoy them. And then those of you here that have no husbands, God's there. Lean on him. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to give him the glory and the honor that he so deserves. And he's always there for every situation if we wait on him and serve him. You're tired, you're worn out, you're lonely. Again, Jesus is the answer. All of us mothers have probably been there, and we could have all used our time much more wisely, I'm sure. And those who have children that have left home, world calls those empty nesters. We, in that time of life, we can build relationships with others. Not just the people that we're comfortable with, but people that we don't know, people that we can help in some way and show God to in some way. And he might even put you in a situation that you never dreamed of. You need to encourage other people and to help others. And when we get too old for that, there's always time to pray. We can never pray enough. And I think as older women, that's a really important thing to do. Prayer is always good, but for us older women, I think it's the best time that we can pray. So, ladies, I just encourage you, even you young girls, to look about you and see what your calling is and then act on it. There's a lot of ways to do this. And if you don't know your calling, be faithful with what you've got right in front of you. He'll show you. He'll show you what your calling is. We're all so different. We're not made out of one mold. So don't be afraid of what other people think. Don't be afraid to do something different than somebody else does. Don't be worried about what someone else thinks. God speaks to each one of us individually, and he will show each one of us what we're supposed to do, as long as we're bringing glory to him. So, I don't know, I got through this way too fast. I probably didn't say a lot of things I wanted to say, but the most thing I want to make clear is when God gives you something to do, do it with all your might. Do everything that you can to give God glory in that situation, to put him first, to embrace the things that he's called you to, whether it be a job or your home or your children or your family or cleaning the church or whatever we do, do it with all our might and be thankful that we can do it. We have a unique situation here with this little church on the West Kootenay. You know, we're away from the cities and we're away from all this stuff with the COVID and all that went on. And we got to still live pretty quietly and still do the things that we normally do. And a lot of people didn't have that. So we've been blessed in that. And we can reach out to other people through that. So I guess with that, my hope for this is just that maybe we could share some thoughts together. To share some thoughts on maybe more about calling. And if anybody feels any need in their heart to repent of something so that we can be clean and come before him, come here tomorrow and hear from our sisters so that we can be edified and built up, so that we can learn, so that we don't have something in our way. I think after we share a little bit, maybe we'll have a time of prayer. If you don't feel comfortable praying with somebody, pray by yourself. If you feel comfortable. I first came to Christ at a Baptist church, so I like the altar. If you feel comfortable coming to the altar and talking to the Lord, if you want someone to pray with you, I'm sure that there's women here that will come and pray with you. Just let's empty ourselves so that we can really hear from him in the next couple days and just really embrace everything that he's speaking to us so that our callings will be clear and we can go on. So I guess, does anybody have anything they want to share? Don't be shy.